Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
We are prepared for 12 three-minute rounds of nonstop pace, and I will go forward and I will put the pressure on him and break this all man. Trust me on that. We are more than ready. However, 8-ounce gloves, he made a big, big error in my opinion. I don't see him lasting two rounds. I feel I will have the decision to end it inside one.
Guys say, oh, I'm going to go to the body on Mayweather. I'm going to hit him with the right hand. I'm going to hit him with the left hook. After 21 years, I've been hit with everything, and I'm still right here.
Well, here now, you should have left me where I was, because this man is not on my level. We're going to see him. We're all going to eat your words in there.
He's the best at what he do. I'm the best at what I do. The best fighting the best. But when it's all said and done, nobody is walking me down.
Well, could I just ask you going to the fight tonight?
No.
No? How come?
Because
Dana White? Or
because it's an event for schmucks, and I'm not a schmuck.
Well, if it brings attention to boxing, a lot of fighters.
You're cashing in on it now.
You guys came a long way to see what the truth is. This is not boxing. This is a farce. Floyd Mayweather is one of the most skilled guys going. And, I mean, as he proved, you know. And McGregor is a nice guy, really a good guy. And he's a terrific MMA fighter. But as a boxer, he doesn't know how to spell fight. The truth is, his stance is all wrong. Floyd will knock him out whenever he can. And you guys, when you're right about it, don't blame Floyd for fleecing the public. It's not Floyd.
It's not Floyd Mayweather's fault, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Hashtag TBV podcast. It is Mayweather McGregor aftermath, the post fight, post everything. It's time to talk and get your opinions. A lot of you have to eat crow. A lot of you MMA fans been calling throughout the week, picking McGregor, talking about the left hand and the stance and the Mystic Mac this and the Mystic Mac that. Well, guess what? It's time to come on here and no more smack talk, just crow is all we got for you. I'm going to head on out to my co-host in the Golden State, to none other than the Hipster Hunter.
Dollar DiBiase Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
Boxers.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout, man. When he said the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
Boxers.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. And I know a lot of people are hating that I'm saying that Conor McGregor exceeded my expectations and most of yours. But man, this event was fun. I had a blast during it. I know it's a sham, but it turned out to be entertaining, to say the least. In ring, outside the ring, the buildup. It was a fun time, regardless. I think it's one of those things that we're going to look back on and say that was just a fun event. I can't wait to move on from it. I can't wait to see Conor back in MMA, back in the UFC, defending his title. I can't wait to see Floyd Mayweather go on and do bigger and better things with Mayweather Promotions. I think the future for these two guys are still pretty bright, because these two guys are such magnetic stars, and they have so much weight in the industry. And obviously we have Miguel Cotto's fight. We have Bedu Jack, Gervonta Davis. We can begin to top rank ESPN deal. Maybe the rumors or semi-official news of Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz. You know, we can get into a lot of news today. It's a flagship edition of TBV. Hit that thumbs up. Hit that share button. Can't wait to chop it up.
Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get right into the main event, the spectacle. People used all type of verbs to cover this one. They called it a circus. But I think that everyone was entertained and everyone was glued. Everywhere you went, people were talking about this one. I was on a phone with a friend, and he was in a line in Taco Bell, bro. The attendant, ear hustling, heard his conversation, and the dude just says, "That fight, right? just like that. No names. That fight, right? Everyone watched this, and it's self-explanatory. You don't have to ask who or what fight. The entire world was watching. And for once, I believe Floyd is retiring now because of the performance, Matt. The way that he went out, he left no room for criticism. So it just makes me feel like he's done, you know? He gave us what we wanted in the fashion that we wanted, and I guess he hopes not to hear any negativity. But I you know, I know the internet is undefeated, but I mean, what do you think so far? I mean, the event, it's over now, aftermath. I mean, McGregor.
I mean, I watched
like you said, than most expected.
I watched it again. And it is still sort of surreal. Like, it still sort of seems like it's a Photoshop event. Like, it doesn't seem like this is a reality. Regardless of the outcome, I think it was entertaining when I didn't think it necessarily, wasn't going to be entertaining, but I thought it was just going to be a very average Mayweather fight, and it turned out to not to be that. It turned out to be a little more entertaining than that, a little more competitive than that. I think I just underestimated maybe McGregor's transfer of skill from MMA, his boxing technique, and what he can bring to the table into a boxing ring. And maybe I and everyone else underestimated him, just like Mayweather. I think we all sort of underestimated him. I'm very curious about the numbers of this event. I know the prelim numbers came out for Fox and did 3.2 something million, which isn't record-breaking. It's decent, very good numbers, but definitely not record-breaking. So it's going to be very – I'm very curious to see what the pay-per-view numbers are.
I think those are good numbers. None of those – I mean, the biggest name was Sean Porter, and he pulled out last minute, leaving, you know, maybe Steve Cunningham to be the biggest name on the prelims. Those are great numbers for, you know, let's face it, no-name fighters.
Yeah, but I think the magnitude of this event, and again, if people were predicting 11 million, 8 million pay-per-view buys, we're talking about an astronomical number of people that are probably watching the prelims as well. And I don't think 3.2 is indicative of that. I don't think we can say, oh, 3.2 million, it's going to do 8 million pay-per-view buys. No, it's probably going to be a little more, not average, but it's going to be closer to maybe 2 million. Maybe 3 million pay-per-view buys. Like, the idea that it broke May Pack may be wrong. I know Alex Dunfe Lyons on the Thursday show said he didn't think it would do that. Maybe he was right. Maybe it didn't do that. Maybe there were a lot of people just streaming this. I know there were a lot of people streaming this. I know a ton of people that called me up telling me they were streaming this. So I don't know really how many people bought this, because again, we had so many people saying it was a shit fight. They didn't want to watch it. It wasn't worth $100. Even though the event turned out to be, in my opinion,
they missed out.
What was that?
They missed out. They missed out, honestly, because, you know, those were people were assuming. This ended up being a lot better than what I expected. I've already been, you know, hitting up on numerous different DMs talking about our fight chat and how they watched the fight, then went back and watched the fight chat, and it gave them chills, you know. The fight itself was good. We were not – I was not expecting Conor to go as far as he did. I was not expecting Conor to be able to, you know, use the jab and find range with his lead right hand and, you know, be able to land straight to the stomach. I was not expecting that. And let's be real. You know, those first 3 to 4 rounds, depending who you were, you scored them all for Conor or 3-1 for Conor. And you were scared. You were looking at yourself and at the people in your living room, and you were saying, what the fuck is going on? You didn't know. I didn't know that Mayweather was deciding to give us this new, you know, game plan where he allowed, kind of not new. It's kind of the rope-a-dope without the ropes, right? He let the bigger man gas himself out, throw all the punches that he can, use the high guard, deflect, and then turn it up in the end, which brings me to some audio that I want to play because that is such an impressive thing to do. I actually want to, you know, touch on this.
About to head home now after an incredible night of boxing here at the MGM. What happened? Floyd took him into deep waters. I'm very impressed with McGregor in the early rounds. I was quite surprised at how he held on, how he exhibited boxing talent with such short times or period of training for the first time as a boxer. He held his own. But Floyd, being the tactician he is, took him to deep water. He kept the pace up, tempo. And you can't just do that. You have to work for years to be able to pace yourself in those late rounds. McGregor, keep your chin up. Mayweather, props.
Well, I wanted to play that, obviously, because Ray Leonard being a legend in this sport and him having the same opinion as yourself, giving Conor a lot of credit, but also giving Floyd credit to be able to physically turn it up the way that he did in the second half of that fight and pull away with the stoppage. So, you know, I know that you're getting a lot of heat for your opinion, but you share the same opinion as Sugar Ray Leonard, a very, very knowledgeable person in this sport. And, you know, I know they're singling you out, but I feel I'm in agreement with you. I think Conor did good. He did exceed our expectations, you know. I mean,
here's what happened. Here's what this whole thing is.
The way I want it.
Here's what this whole thing is. I think a lot of boxing fans, because in their minds, and a lot of people's minds, even your mind, this was boxing versus MMA. This was about making a statement. This was about saying that our sport is better than your fucking sport. You're this upstart fucking new age shit, and you allow all these this dirty shit. We're refined. We're better. We want to show that. So because we got the W, we got the TKO, we want to make sure that it's as emphatic as possible. So I think a lot of boxing fans want this revisionist history of Mayweather becoming Triple G. In a way, and taking the shots and all that as a way of further pushing down MMA, because in their minds, it's boxing versus MMA. It's not about just looking at the fight as a fight. It's not about looking at this and saying, oh, it's just Mayweather versus Conor. No, this is about two worlds colliding and fighting. This is about two different cultures in their mind. And I think that a lot of people are right now made to think that way. And unfortunately, that's clouding their judgment on what we saw last night. What we saw was a competitive fight. And it's okay to say that, even though we're talking about a Floyd Mayweather fighting a 0-0 guy. I know that's hard for some people to say that, to say the words competitive, but it's true. And a lot of boxing fans, including myself, did not think we were going to get a competitive fight. We saw what happened to Julius Ndongo against Terrence Crawford to become an undisputed championship. A guy with two belts gets murked in three in that way. I instantly thought after that, man, Conor has no shot. No shot at all. I was even thinking about making my prediction 6 rounds, 4 rounds, 3 round TKO knockout because of what I saw with Julius Ndongo. And we didn't see that. We saw a competitive fight. I know there's some people saying that Kamagai and Cotto was a less competitive fight. I don't necessarily agree with that. Even though the scorecard is very one-sided for that one, I thought Conor McGregor was much more competitive and obviously just looked more refined. But Conor McGregor made a competitive fight when nobody thought he would. We have to tip our hat off to him and just say that's something. That's a feather in your cap, because most people didn't think you could do that. And as an 0-0 guy coming into this sport, you put on a competitive fight with the best boxer in the last 30 years. One of the best defensive, if not the best defensive boxer of all time. You put on that performance, regardless of how Mayweather was, that's impressive. And you can also say Mayweather is impressive as well. I don't understand why that gets so much hate. But again, I think it's about this whole boxing versus MMA rivalry, this war that this fight has brought out.
Well, man, I mean, look, everybody has opinions. Those that wasn't competitive, what could you say? What were they watching? Speaking of what were they watching, a couple of judges didn't really give McGregor any credit. Maybe two out of the three judges had Floyd, you know, ever since the second round. If you're watching this on YouTube, do us a favor. Hit that thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. And the more thumbs up, the more callers we get. It puts us in front of more faces. And I know that you spoke of disappointment. And now it's my turn to be disappointed. I'm disappointed in the young Tank Davis. Missing weight. The Mayweather protege. I mean, you know, it's like you got this silver spoon in your mouth. Because you signed with Floyd and he chose you. You know, he didn't choose Tabidi. He didn't choose Ashley Theophane. And obviously, the fighter has to do something for Floyd to back him as strongly as Floyd has been backing Davis. I don't know. I wonder how's that relationship now, being as though that, you know, Davis failed to make weight on Floyd's biggest card, where Floyd needed him to shine. I mean, you've seen he introduced him to Snoop Dogg in the All Access as the youngest champion. You can't do that if there's no title. But he did get the win last night.
But in a very ugly fashion. And it's one of those things where, in a different way, similar to the main event, it was just less entertaining. Regardless of the levels of difference in skill that was blatantly obvious between Gervonta Davis and Fonseca, he was letting it be competitive. He was letting Fonseca hit him when he didn't need to. He was letting the action be dictated by his opponent. It was obvious Gervonta Davis was still in control, was still winning, but he was letting it be competitive. And to me, he made it look ugly as well. I know a bunch of casuals that were watching that fight that did not like that one at all. Never heard of Gervonta Davis in their life, and they were very upset by what they saw, and they did not like the winner. And it had shades of like an Adrian Broner type of fight, and it's very upsetting because Gervonta Davis has been asked a lot about being compared to Adrian Broner and saying that I'm not going to be like that. Like, you know, so I'm upset that we got that performance because, again, missing weight and losing the belt, while egregious, while we can definitely criticize that, it could have all been erased by like a second round, third round knockout. It could have all been erased by an early dominant performance. And he did it.
You're right. But the story of the night becomes that it took him longer than what we expected. When we don't know a person, we're not expecting to see them for a long time.
Like, I'll put it this way. Like, you had a bunch of people say, oh, Lomachenko would wash him because of that.
Well, I mean, he didn't look – I mean, it was better off that he lost the title. He didn't look like a, you know, dominant champion anyway. Speaking of dominance, this Kamagai Miguel Cotto fight was one of the most trickiest fights of the weekend, Matt, because while Cotto was landing, you know, very attractive punches – throughout the entire 12 rounds, Kamagai really wasn't ever hurt. No matter what still shot you can find me, he still marched forward and continued to throw punches. And I'm just like, wow, if this guy Kamagai had any more power, would Cotto will? I remember hearing Max Kellerman and Roy Jones question each other in the fifth round, that if Kamagai was still coming forward in the ninth and the tenth, what would it look like? You know, credit to Cotto. He did a marvelous job giving angles and things like that. But, you know, a lot of times I kept saying, is this the round that Cotto gets tired? Because Kamagai just kept coming forward. Now, obviously, Kamagai doesn't have any power. But earlier today, on another show that you can catch if you head on over to iTunes or just subscribe to the YouTube channel and check it out on our podcast playlist, we spoke about top five opponents for Conor McGregor. And, you know, watching that Cotto fight, I'm thinking Conor can hurt Cotto if he can take him deep, if he can go late. He's got to go late. right? Because again, Kama guy had a lot of success.
Wait, did you just say Connor would what? Wait, you gotta repeat that again. I just want to make sure I heard that right.
He hurt Cotto late based off this Kama guy fight. I mean, and I'm only saying Cotto because we mentioned him in that earlier show as a possible opponent for Connor. And I'm just looking at this fight and I'm thinking to myself, well, if this Japanese guy, who's a natural 147 pounder, is putting all types of hands on him, anybody at 54, let alone the names that he eventually called out and said he's going to leave it up to his trainer, and his trainer goes on air and calls out the winner of Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez September 16th for Cotto's final date, which is, you know, a sticky little web in itself because, you know, you're the B-side putting dates and time frames. But I think that either man wins that fight, they'll take the Cotto fight on short notice because he's an older version of himself. And again, Kama guy was putting hands on him, just didn't have the power to make it look effective. But he was touching Cotto, and Cotto was definitely tired. You seen that one time in the corner, he's just breathing deeply, and they're like, in through your nose. And he's like, and he's just taking these deep breaths, you know? It was a serious fight in there, even though Kama guy had no power.
Did Cotto look old to you?
Cotto looked like Cotto.
I don't know.
Like, he didn't look old to me.
Either looked
accurate, man. He didn't look old to me. It's just Kama guy was just too fucking like he was rolling with those shots. His head was you know what? At one point I said, yo, this guy looks like he's possessed. Like it's the Poltergeist movie. So like his whole neck is just gonna do a 360 the way that he was taking those shots.
Fucking vomit and shit.
Yo, it was crazy in that ring. I'm telling you.
I'll just put it this way. The version of Cotto we saw last night was very different than the version we saw 2 years ago against Canelo. Like, he just looked a little bit different. Like, he looked to not be able to take the shots. Not as well, but, like, they seemed to just bother him in a way. Not that he was hurt, but he just looked bothered by them in a way. Like, mentally. He looked mentally, like, bothered by the pressure, bothered by the punches. Yeah, the skills were just – the skill discrepancy was huge. But maybe he just looked, I don't know. He looked slow a little bit. I don't know. I think Cotto definitely looks,
He did have 2 years off. So maybe we're both being overly critical. Maybe his next fight, he can, you know, be two paces away. Cause I just felt Kama guy was on him like white on rice. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, yo, this is Gennady. Gennady breaks his ribs
easily. And I think a Canelo rematch would end up much worse than the first fight, to be honest. So I don't know what's next for Cotto. I know he keeps saying that he's going to retire at the end of the year.
And then He definitely said one more fight. He definitely said winner of Triple G Canelo. But there's also rumor that it could be Lemieux. Either way, that schedule seems very tough.
Yeah, and I don't know if he should fight anyone at middleweight. He looks small. He looked small against Kama guy.
He did look small against Kama guy. That was true, bro.
So I don't know what's next for him. I think he should go back to maybe a couple.
At 54, though, who's on the Golden Boy side at 54 that he could just say, "Look, man, I'm gonna just give out my last contract fight."
Why don't you go back to Kell Brook? I think that would be a good fight.
Oh, man, Kell Brook.
He's defense damage goods. You get that UK money. I don't know.
I guess. Badu Jack, MVP of the night outside of
easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
But I mean, is he MVP or was it the opponent? Because word on the street is Nathan Cleverly retired. Not only that, he had an 8 to 9 month layoff. You know, Mayweather Promotions had him on Lairway. You know, they gave him a little something and held him up like, yo, just stick around. We want that belt. He hadn't fought in 8 or 9 months, so, I mean.
Yeah, but Badu Jack hadn't fought since, what, January?
All right, I'm just saying levels, man.
No, there were levels of difference in skill and power, but that doesn't take away that it was an impressive performance.
Could we give him MVP of the night? Could we say he was the fighter of the night based off the opposition? Or everyone was in there, so...
Nathan, that's true. Everyone was kind of in their soft. Well, hey, except for Rios Vargas. That was a...
Except for Floyd.
That was supposed to be a competitive fight more than
no Rios Vargas. That's a whole. That was like, yeah, that's a different card.
Let me go back to Friday. Centeno versus Aleem.
Actually, I talked about that Friday. Damn, I told myself I wouldn't forget because Dervachenko is in my works out in my gym. I obviously got to talk about how well he looked. But damn, poor Aleem.
Man,
poor Aleem. It's just how it just goes to show you that you know nothing, Jon Snow. And all these boxing people, even myself and you, everybody that we think we know.
We were high off Aleem.
He got that win over Heatroff, and we thought Aleem was on the escalator route up. And Hugo Centeno.
Left hook cemetery, man. Out.
Someone that we wrote off. Someone that we thought Julian Williams showed us all he had. And he was not on this level. And then that left hook was landing all night. And that's why they say this one thing I learned early, and it's cliche, but you have to embed this in your mind. Styles make fights. And even though Aleem beat so-and-so and Hugo lost to so-and-so, look at what the fuck happened Friday night. That was a explosive knockout. Hugo made a statement for sure, but he's at 160 now. This was 154 pounder. He's still with Eric Brown, which was interesting. You know, good to see him bounce back off the loss with his old trainer. But 160 is dangerous, and because he's on that PBC side, all I smell is Charlo Lions only out there. And if you ain't talking Charlo, you're talking Jacobs, who needs a fight, and I hear he's in camp. You know how these PBC fighters are. They don't get announced. The fight actually doesn't get announced until a month later or a month, you know, 30 days out. But the fighters are definitely training.
Yeah, I just props to Centeno because that was just an impressive knockout, to say the least.
Marvelous knockout, man.
Absolutely. What else was there? There was another news.
It's funny, though. It's funny since you lost your thought. It's funny because Aleem didn't respect his power. If you can see from the opening round, he was also hooking with him. And that's what they say, don't hook with a hooker. And even in that exchange, it was him trying to hook with Centeno. Centeno just longer, rangier with his hook.
Yeah, and just one shot out. But Ugas, sort of putting in a bad performance.
Getting lucky. Getting lucky. And again, we know nothing, Jon Snow. Didn't we write off Delorme? And he's in there throwing bombs.
Hold on. You did more than anyone.
No, of course.
I said Ugas can put in a dud. He can put in a decision where he's going back and forth. And I wrote
Delorme off. I thought his chin, but God.
Ugas got dropped.
Yo, Delorme was fighting as if his contract depended on it. Did you see? No, seriously. Did you see how he was winding up those right hands, bro?
Dude, that was a fun fight.
Everything was on those punches. I mean, Ugas got lucky. He got lucky because Delorme dropped him. I don't even understand. You know, I didn't score it. I'm not going to argue on Ugas' resurgence. And then here comes fucking Delorme and ruins all that. Makes me look bad again. Jon Snow. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Delorme, out of all people, had Everlast gloves, rival shorts, and Everlast pants. It's like, come on. You're on the fucking Mayweather card. You ain't even got shit together. And you still was about to be someone that threw a monkey a wrench, or is it a monkey? I don't know. You know the phrase. He definitely was about to fuck shit up had he beat Ugas. But Ugas should have lost, though, I think. I think a part of me that feels like Delorme.
I was scoring it, I'll be honest, but I felt like Delorme won it.
Sad, man. So Dervachenko, then, unless you want to, you know, add a little more to that.
No, we can go to Dervachenko, and then I want to hear the MVP of the weekend.
I mean, MVP
that's
has
how
to
this
be
all started.
His MVP has to be Badu Jack because, you know, I mean, we said why, right? His performance. But if you're saying weekend.
Yeah, weekend. Let's go weekend because we have to include the Friday card.
Well, no. If you go weekend, then I'm going to give it to Sergey Dervachenko just so he could get some shine because his performance was masterful. You know, it was.
Hey, Tariano Johnson made him work.
Yeah, made him work by, I don't know, the amount of times his gloves hit his face. What do you mean?
You don't think that was a deep competitive fight in the first, I would say, like,
Tariano
seven?
Was horribly inaccurate.
Yes.
So it didn't matter what work he was doing. The technician was the only one landing clean shots and effective shots. Tariano was just in there coming forward until he couldn't come forward anymore. And I was surprised. I think you and I did a live fight chat, right? I was like, wow, this guy's still around. Like, he's got a chin. He definitely has a chin. But he's got no skills. No skills. I mean, I learned what I learned. So anything I might have said previous to today, take it as a grain of salt, because moving forward, I know nothing Jon Snow. And a punch can change everything. And Tariano, with the right 160-pounder, Glenn Tapia, Gabriel Rosado, you know, Curtis Stevens part two, those are good fights.
Yeah, they are.
Fights. So I don't want to write him off. And he had the inactivity. Then he had that one sole fight in March. You know, that's probably not enough. Any other fights that were? Oh, Ronnie Rios, Ray fucking Vargas.
Yes.
Ray Vargas,
man,
is my new watch out. 5'10", 122 pounds of, speed, blistering speed. And it looks like power to me, okay? Ronnie Rios, I like him. I've always liked his shoulders and shit. He's like a little stocky dude, but very limited, you know what I'm saying? And he wasn't really listening to his coach, to be honest with you. His coach was imploring him to do more. He just was not doing it. But Ray, I want to see Ray with Guillermo. If we can't get these deals finalized with Lomachenko, Guillermo has to go get that belt. He's got to move up in weight or what. I know Guillermo has a lot of belts, but Ray also has a belt. Vargas and Rigondeaux, I don't give a fuck about the height. He's in your weight class. That's the best guy in that division that I know right now. And HBO's taking a liking to him. You might as well get on that train, Rigondeaux, if you're intelligent. But Ray Vargas put it together.
Ray Vargas versus Jesse Magdaleno could also sell out like the StubHub in LA easily.
I don't know about selling out because nobody knows Ray Vargas, but I hear you.
With the market here, I think, especially with Jesse Magdaleno, because he's a little bit of a local star here.
So don't get confused. It was Cotto people came out for.
I understand that. But Jesse Magdaleno also brings in ticket sellers or ticket buyers.
Does he? Because last I checked, he was living in Vegas. So since when does the L.A. market like him?
Because he's been fighting in the L.A. market for quite a while. But back to the overall point. I mean, MVP of the weekend has to either go to Centennial or Badu Jack. And I want to give MVP to Centennial because of that knockout.
And a competition. Badu Jack was not in a 50-50. Centennial at least was in like a 60-40, 70-30.
Tipped the other way.
Exactly, depending on what odds makers you were looking at. Like, no one expected Centennial to pull this one out. I mean, Hugo the fucking boss. He bossed up, yo. That was nice. I mean, I want to see Aleem bounce back. This is crazy, is what I'm saying. You know, we know nothing. All these good guys getting knocked out. These setbacks. You know, again, but thank God that now we're being taught to adapt that UFC model where losses don't mean, you know, that a fighter is done. It just doesn't. Because, look, I thought that Centennial was Dunsky. And he came back on the map. Any other headlines, Matty Boy?
Well, of course, do you want to get into the top rank ESPN deal? Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz rumors.
I mean, those are rumors. We could get into the deal since it's official. It's a 16 fight. What is it, 16 fights per year?
Well, it's 16 fights on either ESPN or ABC and then two streaming fights. So ESPN is making a Netflix-style streaming service come January of next year. That's launching. And obviously, they're going to have two streaming fights on there. So 18 fights total. Or fight cards, I should say.
This is going to be interesting. So you're saying ESPN is making a streaming service?
Yes, they are.
They better be willing to take content from everybody because, you know, how are you going to pull in subs if you just got top rank stuff there?
Well, I would assume whatever other deals they have with either college sports, professional sports, that would also be streamable as well as maybe their live content. I don't know what the exact makeup of it is going to be like. Is it just going to be the ESPN app on steroids in a sense? Like, I don't know the exact nature of it, to be honest, but I know they are making one, and it's going to launch in January.
Well, I think it's about time we open up these phone lines. But what I do want to say in the wake of the Top Rank deal is it's time PBC announces something, right? I mean, at this point, PBC is just an acronym that we use loosely in boxing, but we haven't seen any of that propaganda. We don't even know if that still exists. I mean, I've heard...
We had a PBC card literally...
No, I know. I've heard fights say brought to you by the PBC, but they've been on Showtime. I mean, obviously, Fox is there, but...
CBS.
Those are the toe-to-toe Tuesdays, Friday night fight, you know, Sergey Dervishenko level, which is not a bad level, but it's not the level that we are expect. It's not Crawford and Dango unification undisputed level. Anyway,
we did get Thurman Garcia on CBS.
Yeah, but that's long
ago. Which is available to a broader audience than ESPN.
Matt, I get you, but what I'm saying, it's about time they come up with a new deal.
I agree. I'm just saying that.
That's all I'm saying. We need to be talking about what they're doing moving forward and what's going on with them and how many fights they're going to have on Fox or BET or whatever. You know what I mean?
Hey, we saw Al Haymon on the telecast last night. God knows what's going to happen next.
I was shocked that I bet that you he didn't know those cameras were rolling, though. You know what I'm saying? Because he usually tells people not to record them.
I thought they were going to cut the cameras or something, man. It was like seeing the Illuminati, you know?
Maybe he's ready to come out and be the face of his own company again. I don't know. Anyway, phone lines it is.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Going out to Class and Bound in Texas. Class and Bound, talk to us.
No. I'm talking to you guys. I'm listening.
All right, moving on. J. Will in Ohio, talk to us.
If you don't like I know, you should lie low. I used to get it in Ohio.
Yeah, man. Great fight, man. Just great for entertainment, man. Everybody that I watched the fight with left happy. So that was a real good thing. I think people on both sides, boxing and MMA, should be happy. I do think that some of the credit that's being given to McGregor, it is warranted, but, I mean, it's not really taken into the perspective of, you know, given the situation that, I mean, he was fighting a guy's about to be 41, and he ain't fought in 2 years. And he's in this athletic prime. So I just kind of think that, and plus I think some people were doubting him way too much anyway. I mean, we all knew that Conor was a counterpuncher. In order to be a counterpuncher, you got to have timing and know how to, you know, master distance. Those are like some of the hardest things to learn as a boxer, you know. So I think people were already kind of down. I said it would go at least 8 or 9, you know. So I wasn't ever saying no 4 or 6 round, you know, stoppage with Mayweather. But, yeah, I was happy. I just think that, at the end of the day, we can't put too much on this fight. It was just leave it for what it is. And let's just look forward to what we got coming up. And that's my call.
J. Will, pleasure to have you. As always, we're going out to the UK. Remember to add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. That's NestorGibbs. Add us. You must send a friend request to be added to the call.
So you know who I miss? I miss Blackface.
I thought I won the fight.
You thought you won the fight? Why?
In ain't no fucking padding in the fucking glove.
Yeah. It's blackface all the way for the UK representing. Just want to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night to everyone listening in the past, present, or future. I thought the Mayweather card as a whole was good. I was kind of concerned though, because what I saw when the fight first started, I saw Conor McGregor controlling Floyd's lead hand fairly well for the first two rounds. But as the fight went on, Floyd just basically, Conor's power was just completely ineffective, and his endurance and stamina down the stretch, in my opinion, was embarrassing. Considering he's in the prime of his career and he's a high-level athlete, I don't expect my athletes to be gassing like that, regardless of what they're doing, as far as I'm concerned. But obviously, I don't know about the UFC, but as far as I'm aware, he's the UFC's best representative. And, you know, he kind of gassed pretty much immediately after the, you know, potential 25-minute mark when the UFC fight was supposed to end. He kind of just fell off the cliff after that, and I thought that was pretty bad. It reminded me when man used to play Fight Night and used to waste down all your energy and still throw haymakers. That's how bad it was. It just made your punches ineffective, and he just didn't have any answers after that. He had difficulty when Floyd went into headphone mode, and when Floyd just basically showed up and walked forward, he didn't really have an answer for that, really. In regards to the stoppage, if you don't throw punches or try and evade punches, you're asking to get stopped by the referee. You know, if you don't want the referee to stop the fight, don't put yourself in a position to get stopped, as far as I'm concerned. You have to throw punches, you have to try and attempt to try and defend yourself. You know, Floyd's finally retired. I think if Floyd was fighting any active 147, 154 pounder, you know, Floyd wasn't, you know, great, so to speak, but the guy he was fighting wasn't great either. So you can only fight the level of opposition in front of you. But, you know, based on that performance, I think he's food for anyone at 147 and 154. And I think now is the right time to bow out. In regards to Tank Davis, this is the second time now I've seen him not make weight on the first attempt. He needs to just move up and figure out his life and reevaluate what's important to him, because I don't want these fighters out here not making weight on the first attempt, especially doing it on back-to-back fights. I think that's unacceptable. Floyd's now gone. You know, I don't think he's coming back now at all. That really was his final fight. Now all the other fighters behind him, you know, now he's out of the way. They just need to, you know, effectively take his place. So yeah, that's my call. The right time is always now.
Well, all right, my friend. Thanks for calling in. As always, we're going to go out to Las Vegas to our resident rock star, Robert Ortiz from Escape the Fate.
No, very good afternoon to you. Very good evening to you, Nestor. Very good morning to you guys in fucking UK. All right, so me and Matt been going back and forth. Basically, I was disappointed in Conor McGregor. I was very underwhelmed by his performance. The reason being is I believe that. Can I get a word in? I can never have a call. I know I'm a character and all that shit. I like to talk shit, but let me get my call in, you know? Basically, it went pretty close to how I think most of us predicted it would be, in the sense that we thought that he could get stopped there. Ultimately, though, I thought Conor could make it to the end. And the reason why I'm disappointed is because, all right, first, I knew that it would take Floyd some time to figure out, because Conor is a counterpuncher. And he's probably the biggest opponent, both height, reach, and weight, that Floyd has ever fought. The only reason it was really, truly exciting is because we didn't know what Floyd was coming off a two-year layoff at 40 years old. So when you've seen him not being able to reach him and Conor kind of taking it to him, keeping that range, you're like, oh, shit, this could be it. But it was like the moment he adjusted to that counter uppercut that Conor threw, it was like, oh, cool, Floyd's got him. It's over. That's how I felt. immediately. So for me, it was like, it was a little bit kind of dramatic. But then once Floyd took over, we knew what it was. So from there, the reason why it was disappointing for me on Conor's end was because you got Floyd Mayweather, the guy who can't really punch, walking you down. And I thought at some point he could actually throw a punch that had any power whatsoever behind it. He had no fucking power. He was not turning his foot. He was doing nothing at all. I thought, you know, okay, the smaller gloves in UFC, I get it. They're, obviously, you're going to get more knockouts that way. That's fine. But at least some fucking power. And he had nothing. So he landed more than Pacquiao and Canelo, right? But why Floyd didn't respect that power whatsoever. So when you're telling me that Conor did good, he didn't do good. The fight was not competitive. Floyd Mayweather, a guy who does not like to get hit whatsoever, walked him down and ate those shots because he didn't give a fuck because they had nothing on them.
Hey, Rob.
Although, hold on, I'm not done. And although I
want to ask a question.
He's going to gas out. Oh, okay, I'll answer as soon as I'm done. And although we knew he was going to gas out, that's the most tired I've ever seen a professional athlete in any sport, like the last caller. And then lastly, I thought he'd go out as a warrior, not running away. I thought at least he could make it a dogfight at the end. If it need be, when he's falling apart, I thought maybe he'd come back and give it a dogfight. But he ended up just running away and not punching. I get Floyd's the greatest versus a guy in his first fight. I get that. But he's a world-class fighter and warrior. And I saw none of that yesterday. No power, no fighting, no fighting. Okay, that's what we thought. He was a fighter. We knew he could get schooled, but didn't get beat in a fight. Your turn, Matthew.
I just want to ask a quick question. Do you think that Manny Pacquiao was more competitive in his fight against Floyd Mayweather?
I think by the look aesthetically of it, it appeared to be an easier fight based on him not landing as many punches as Conor. But the Manny Pacquiao fight, he did hurt Floyd on a number of occasions. And Floyd had to work the entire way. Despite it looking easy, it was not easy. It was very, very tense for Floyd the entire
time. Now, what about Robert Guerrero?
Robert Guerrero, he schooled him, but he took him seriously, and he avoided all those shots, and he had respect for that power, and he had to fucking do it right.
What about Arturo Gatti?
Arturo Gatti? Well, fuck, man. You got me on that one, but let's examine it. And Floyd was pretty boy Floyd in his fucking gnar prime, and Gotti was on it completely his way out. And look at the size differential.
Well, let's look at the context of this fight. We have a 0-0 boxer.
That's fair. So again, what I'm disappointed in is that I thought at the end of the day, Conor would go out on his shield. And Floyd said, you could go out on your back or you could go out on your face. He chose to go out on his back, you know, although he didn't actually end up on his actual back in the literal or in the sense of hyperbole. He was running away. He lost the fight on his back and, you know, to compare it. Right.
All right. Rambly. Call him Rambly Rambler. We got to move on to some other callers here. But I obviously want to thank you for calling in. We're going to go out to Michael on Skype as well. Mike, talk to us.
Hello?
Mike, what's up, brother? Talk to us.
Oh, hello, guys. Yeah.
Rob, mute up.
Am I still on mute?
No, not you. You're good. Go.
Oh, you know, first off, you know, talking about the Conor McGregor and Mayweather fight. You know, first off, I would like to say that I'm disappointed, not in Conor McGregor, because I knew, you know, his skills wasn't, boxing ability wasn't there. I'm just disappointed in more to do with Floyd Mayweather, because he didn't, based on his performance, he didn't take, I don't think he respects McGregor for a start, and he doesn't respect his power, doesn't respect his ability, doesn't respect his skills. For him to have that performance in regards to not neglecting his whole game plan or his whole way of boxing that he has fought against Canelo Alvarez, against Pacquiao, against the other opponents, to just completely disregard it, do a completely different tactic. I just thought, you know, he didn't respect him at all. And people are crediting Conor McGregor for his performance and saying, oh, yeah, credit him for going 11 rounds. Let's put this straight. If he was facing Canelo Alvarez, if he was facing Errol Spence, they would have got him out of there in 3 rounds. Then we wouldn't be having this conversation, you know, because it was Floyd Mayweather and he wanted to make it a little bit entertaining, he dragged it on longer than what it should have done. And people have to think about it like this, yeah? Now, Mayweather took the mic and he decided to do this different tactic of, let me just come forward, and let's see what his power was. Now, if Conor McGregor's power was that great, he would have forced Mayweather to change his tactic. Because no way, if he was facing Canelo Alvarez, he wouldn't be fighting the way he fought. Because he knows that Canelo Alvarez has got knockout power. And now everyone was hyping Conor McGregor's knockout power and saying, you know, oh, we're going to knock him out in 2 rounds. And everyone was talking about it because of the way he did in UFC. But you can tell from his boxing technique, yeah, how he punches, there was no power in his shots. No power whatsoever in his shots. So because of that, Mayweather thought, I'm going to go forward and it doesn't matter. And you can tell, like you say all the time in your show, look at his face and look at Conor McGregor's face. Is there any bruises on Mayweather's face? None. There was no power in his shots whatsoever. So for people to say, oh yeah, great, we went to 11 rounds, I would have went 11 rounds the way Mayweather was fighting. The way Mayweather was fighting, anybody would have beaten Mayweather the way he was fighting that night. So let's put it all into perspective. Yeah.
Great call, Michael. Great call. Thanks for calling in. We're going out to the 816-609, 816-609, 816-609, first-time caller. First-time caller, my friend?
No, that's my first-time caller. It's Kansas City Mac. I'm just calling from a different number.
What up, Kansas City Mac? Hey, talk to us.
Just want to tell you how much love what y'all do. Hit that thumbs button for y'all. Y'all don't know, hit the thumbs button. Yeah, Mayweather, man, he did his thing. You know, kind of disappointed me, but, you know, on both sides. We'll really tell when he gets back to the UFC. He still has problems when he gets back to the UFC. But Mayweather did what he was supposed to do. He's 40 years old. I'm going to eat crow. I thought it was going to go 12 rounds. That's why McGregor disappointed me. If you notice, the snot was coming down his nose. He's gassed. You're not supposed to gas, Conor. It's almost like tapping out. You gave up. I came on here and I told everybody to respect you as a man. But I guess you did what you were supposed to do. Fold. Go back to the UFC and handle the Diaz brothers. You got the Russian. He wants your head. Take a man in Russia. And then I'll judge you more after that fight. Big ups to Mayweather in his 50 fight. You shouldn't have signed the contract. Be mad. Mayweather, TBE. I know.
Kansas City Mac, thanks for calling in. 386-956. 386-956, first-time caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir. First-time caller.
Oh, yeah, first time, man.
All right, brother. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Keem, calling from Florida, man. Daytona, Florida.
Keem from Florida. Talk to us, brother.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate y'all, man. I got through. I appreciate y'all having me on the show and, you know, and what y'all do, man. I love it. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to say that I was actually impressed by Conor McGregor. I'm surprised a lot of people are saying that that he looked bad or whatever. I was surprised. I was one of the people who thought he was going to look like a fool. And, you know, the first 3-4 rounds, I was kind of like, damn, yo, this dude is doing it right now. But, you know, Mayweather did what he was supposed to do at the end of the day, and he got the job done. And he did it in a different way. You know, that was a different Mayweather. But he, to me, honestly, Mayweather didn't look too good. I think it's time for him to retire. He looked a little old. And, you know, I just couldn't see him going against some of these young bulls in the game right now, you know, at his age. But, yeah, man, that's really all I wanted to say. Oh, and Tank Davis, man, super disappointed in him. looks like he's going to be like another Adrian Broner, you know, and that's something, you know, I don't want to see. I think he's a talented young fighter, man. But yeah, that's my call, man. I appreciate y'all.
Well, all right, brother. Thanks for calling in. We're going to go out to Antonio in Albany. Antonio in Albany, talk to us. Going out to Long Beach.
Long Beach in the house. Yeah,
man, the fight was excellent, dude. I think it was a big fight, big night for boxing. I feel like both guys won, and it was all good in that regard. McGregor had more skills than I think most everyone assumed, whether that be due to how Mayweather decided to fight, I don't know. But Conor was able to...
All right, looks like we lost them. We're going out to New Jersey. Talk to us.
Yo, fellas, I mentioned it last night. I just want to say it again. What happened last night was a replay of what happened between Tommy Burns and Jack Johnson. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to take it there for a minute only because you got to look at what people understand about boxing. A couple of my UK guys, they hit it right on the head. Power is not how much bigger somebody is than you. McGregor came in there probably, you know, over 170 pounds after he rehydrated, big as hell, taller. But it's speed versus accuracy is what creates power. And the man does not have enough speed, and he sure as hell didn't have any accuracy beyond the jab. I mean, he threw a couple left that he slipped in there, but he wasn't able to create any power. So when people look at this fight, and they kept pissing and moaning about McGregor having a chance because of his power. They're talking about two flat-footed motherfuckers standing in front of each other throwing shots. And that's not what was going to happen. So all this, you know, one-shot power, I mean, it's idealism. But as far as them, and I felt like that's what also happened in Ward Kovalev. Sometimes you got a fighter in the climate of the country want something else to happen, but the reality happens, and then... You know, they save homeboy from being stood over, from getting his punk ass knocked to the ground like a pile of dog shit and being stood over by the victor. So, you know, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get a chance to see McGregor fall to the ground like a pile of dog shit and have Floyd Mayweather standing over him. But it was still a competitive fight. I gave McGregor the first three rounds. You know, he probably slipped in maybe the 10th round, but beyond that, it was definitely a dominant performance. Floyd's got nothing to prove. Everybody's good until they step in the ring with Floyd. McGregor, on the other hand, I talk about five fighters that he could fight moving forward. I guess that's my call.
Thanks for calling in. We're going out to Los Angeles' own.
To InfoJo.
Tell the truth. This portion of the show we call In the Know, presented by my brother.
Yo, you know it ain't no show without Info Joe. What up to all my hardcores that's listening out there? Yo, this has been the best year in boxing. As a hardcore, I felt our sport was on trial last night. The sweet science was being tested in front of the whole world. Me personally, it was a big win for boxing first, then Floyd. This is going to grow our sport to be bigger. At one time in this country, boxing was bigger than football, basketball, baseball. It was the sport. I know it will never be that again, but at least give us our respect and give us our lane and give us our props for the hardcores out there. Yo, the fight was entertaining, more entertaining than I thought it would be. I'm glad Floyd got the stoppage. I'm not going to lie, I was nervous the first three rounds. But I noticed in MMA fighters and last night with McGregor, his technique on sitting down on punches and throwing, he can't get good leverage off his shots like that. I see why it was that and also him being fatigued. Shout out to Badu Jack. He's always looking better and better. He's always showing new improvements in his game every time out. I would still pick the Cali King, Andre Ward, to kick his ass, though. But he did look good. Props to him. I'm very disappointed in Tank Davis losing his belt on the scales in your second title defense. We have all seen Thurman, Terrence, all these dudes look sick on the way in. Being professional, though, making weight, it can be done. No excuses, man. Be a pro. Are you going to – you're getting cocky and getting sloppy. Floyd done gave you a whole lot of money. I hope you're listening, but don't get cocky and sloppy. This is not it. You just – you. He thinks he's made it, but he hasn't made it yet. But the performance I seen him do last night, I say Robert Easter, Lomachenko, the rest of them dudes, will put hands on him from what I seen last night. That's my call. Hit those thumbs up. Shout out to all my hardcore boxing fans. Stand the fuck up. This is yours. Peace.
Info Joe, man. Thank you as always. We're going out to Connecticut. Sam, talk to us.
Hey, what's going on? I thought it was a good fight. I was very entertained. And, you know, I was at the movie theater and everybody was excited. And, you know, I was nervous the first three rounds, but I knew he was going to tire and I was shocked, and it was a good fight for me. I liked it, and I'm happy I paid for it.
Well, all right, Sam. Thanks for calling in. We're going out to Jack in Vegas. Talk to us.
Hey, guys. I called last week, and I told you that I thought the fight from a betting perspective was like stealing. And I think Floyd agreed with me. That's why he came out in the ski mask, because he knew that he was robbing $300 million from people buying this fight. And I'm not going to say that I wasn't surprised a little bit with Connor. Connor impressed me a little bit in the first three rounds. I gave him the first three rounds. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to his power. He didn't have any. We all knew that he didn't have any power. And as far as I listened to your show earlier today about the five names of guys who could fight Connor, I think it's all five lines, it's one name, and that name is Nate Diaz. And I think that he needs to go back to the UFC, finish that trilogy. And then if he wants to come back to boxing, I'll see him, because I think he's got a little bit of potential if he wants to fight at a lower level. And I certainly think there's a lot of room to make a lot of money betting against him if he wants to fight Broner or some of these other guys that you were talking about earlier. I just don't think that he's like a C-level guy to me. You know, if he would have been fighting earlier, in his teens and 20s with that awkward stuff, maybe he could have made something. But at his age, I just don't see him being competitive against any decent fighter. I really don't. I think the UFC's his angle. I give him all the credit for making the money. Good for him. He's a hell of a marketer. And it was an entertaining show because Floyd made it an entertaining show. But we all knew what was going to happen. But at least we got our money's worth as far as entertainment value. And that's it. I'm out.
Who we got?
Stainless.
Straight to the point for those with attention deficit. I'm so repetitive, so I gotta repeat. Stainless from the street to the deep. I'm coming with that heat. Boy, you need to know about me. I'm coming with that heat.
Yo, give me just a second. Look at this Bluetooth.
Oh, my bad. Stainless, you there?
Yo, I'm good. TVV, what's up? Oh, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me? Yeah, man, what's up, man? What a nice event that was yesterday. I'm on board with all the rest of the hardcore fans, man. I'm happy we can get this behind us. All we got to get through is this next few days of the USC acting like the Mexican fans when they was beatbox Floyd, and let them keep explaining how it was so unfair that my man didn't get to catch his breath, you know. It's hilarious. Now, I spent half of the night explaining the Marcus the Queensberry rules to UFC fans who were just picking Conor McGregor because they knew what he could do in the UFC. As Info Joe just remarked, as I always love to repeat from that guy, what a luxurious night for boxing that was. What a great year for boxing it's been.
And much like Mixed Combat, man, I'm so happy that we can get back to separating these two sports and letting boxing be the greatest that it's turned into this year. That's pretty much all I got outside of, you know, that was a great performance by Badu Jack over Nathan Cleverly. And even though I am as upset as disappointed as everybody else is in Tank Davis, I was happy to see him take responsibility for it. You know, he didn't make any excuses. You know, he said, I missed weight. That was totally my fault. It never happened again. Even when they tried to, you know, give him the setup for, well, you did have a cold. Did that play a part? He said, nah, you know, it was totally my fault, you know. And, you know, as a man, you know, speaking as a man, to see him as a boxer, as a professional, trying to be a star, to accept responsibility for your own actions, man, that's, you get it. I mean, I know you ain't supposed to get big ups for doing what you're supposed to do, but, you know, he give my respect for nothing else, accepting responsibility for his mistake and moving on from there. You know me, I stay on that Stephen Calderon status, just calling me in from work. So I'm going to let y'all get to these other calls. As I always say, please make sure that you push the thumbs up and share this and every episode of the Boxing Voice podcast. And my new line, man, if you ain't in the $10 and up club, man, then you need to get real on Patreon. Peace, man. Y'all take it easy.
Stainless, thanks as always for calling in. We're going out to Rashi in Brooklyn. Talk to me.
Yeah, how you doing, man? This thing with Tank Davis, yo, I think it's a conspiracy. I think Mayweather told me, yo, just lose that belt, because at the end of the day, the longer you have the belt, Lomo's on your ass all day. And if you don't fight him, it's a problem. So he'll get that belt back on in due time or whatever. But this thing with Mayweather, his defensiveness going forward was classic. You know, everybody thinking defensive on the ropes or going back, but he let McGregor use his own aggression against him. Going forward and being defensive first, second, third round, classic. Made that man keep throwing punches. Yeah, he won the three rounds, but my question is, what if McGregor did not lose his stamina? He just gave up three rounds. That's my thing. But he gambled and he got a good bet. He did his thing. And this thing with Tank Davis hitting that kid in the head, back of his head, that was a total mess up like that, yo. The first two punches didn't do nothing, and they're gonna say the punches before got him weary. Nah, that punch in the back of the head was done. That was a flop, yo. But I gave it up to Mayweather. He did his thing. He gambled the ring and he did his thing as a 40-year-old. He did the right thing, and like McGregor said, he has that composure. Once you have that composure, then you wait till the man is on his last, and then you attack. And that's exactly what happened. You're going these people don't know. You going in there defensively, going forward. Everybody said, oh, he was going forward. Yeah, he was going forward, but he was going forward defensively. And that man could not hit him at all. And that's all I got to say. I mean, the way I see it, you could beat Mayweather if you just get what you got to get in and get out and you run. But what happens with these fighters? They're so aggressive and they think they got power. They do have power and they're just going and they're running in and doing their thing. Back up a little bit, man. Let Mayweather come to you and do your thing and hold him. You gotta be smart when you fight a person like Mayweather. You can't just be doing what you think you're gonna do. You gotta do something way awkward. And it didn't work out for that young McGregor. It didn't work out. He ain't have a good game plan, though. So, you know, peace out. That's all I
got to
say.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling in, Rashi. We're going out to the 408-839. 408-839. Going out to L.A. Santiago, talk to us.
Hey, guys. What's up? So I want to give a special thank you to JP for having Joe and I over for the fight. We made it home safely. We enjoyed the hospitality and the good food. The first time I've ever had ribs. And we had ourselves, like I said, a great, great weekend of boxing. You know, Friday's PBC card with Revchenko. And then the preliminaries, the main pay-per-view card, the main event. The only fight that truly was underwhelming, in my opinion, was the Gervonta Tank Davis fight, because it was just kind of like, he looked like he didn't give a fuck. He was just doing whatever the fuck he was. He didn't weigh in. He lost the belt on the scales.
You know, it wasn't the kind of fight we expected a guy who's considered Mayweather's protege to put on. So very disappointed in him. We'll see what happens to him. And, you know, in regards to the Mayweather-McGregor fight, I've been telling this to a few people for a while now who've been asking about this, is that at the end of the day, McGregor is still a professional fighter. The only difference is that he fights against different disciplines. And he showed that he was able to have his own little minor successes here and there. I gave him the first four rounds before Mayweather started to pick up the pace, started to come forward and, you know, show us a Mayweather that we hadn't really seen since, in my opinion, the days of Diego Chico Corrales. You know, it was nice to see a very entertaining fight, a fight that didn't feel like, you know, the Pacquiao fight where all of us were all like, we paid $100 for this shit? Seriously? This is a fight that everyone was hyped on. You know, my friends went to go see it with their buddies. A couple, you know, asked to come and see it with us over at that JP's place. It was a good fight. It was a great fight. Mayweather did what he needed to do to get the win. He got the knockout. Props to McGregor for putting on a good performance for himself. Whatever he chooses to do after this, pursue boxing again after defending his title in the UFC, or just sticking to the UFC from now on. You know, he did well for himself, you know. I have nothing bad to say for all the people who are still bashing on this fight. Like, seriously, guys, you guys are just a bunch of haters at this point. You guys don't want to give any of these guys credit. So that's my call. Any questions you guys have regarding any of these topics that today's show, feel free to ask. Otherwise, that's my call.
Santiago, as always, thanks for calling in. Majid, talk to us. Once Youssef in Houston, talk to us.
What's going
on? What's up, brother?
Oh, he dropped.
All right. It's well, so 954 California 954-701. First time caller. Nine, five, four, 701. Going once, twice.
And everyone's dropping the ball. Come on, guys.
Smoking Jay Franklin, it's on you.
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, y'all there?
We yes, are here.
Oh, I just wanted to say, first of all, that Floyd Mayweather is the fucking king. I mean, like, the man is just proving himself to be consistent, and everyone just fucking hates on him for some shit he did years ago. The man's the fucking king, best of all time. Second of all, Conor McGregor's a bitch, and all y'all who support him are fucking bitches as well. Fuck all you.
Whoa, Smoking Jay, calm down. 717-858.
717-858.
Going once.
Bye-bye.
Marcus, D.C.
We
know he's ready.
You know I'm ready, man. Yo, check this out, man. A couple of things. One, man, where is Santiago been? And he only had a rib for the first time the other day, man. I'm ashamed of y'all, the boxing voice, for allowing Santiago to come to all these appreciations and never having a goddamn rib. JP, thanks for giving that man a rib. Number two, he said, man, he said, we're not accustomed to a Mayweather protege doing like Javante. Newsflash, Adrian Broner? Of course we are expecting the Adrian Broner protege to act up and not make weight. That's what they do. Everyone acts like Javante took responsibility, but this is his second consecutive fight missing weight. If you remember, he had to come back for 2 hours against Walsh. He did it several times. He had a fiasco then and apologized and said he wouldn't do this. So I don't know what's going on with him. Matt said touched up. You know, I would probably not refer to Mayweather getting touched up in that fight as I would Jeff Horn got touched up. You know, Andre Ward got touched up in the fight against Wichcom, but I think Mayweather was a little bit more deliberate. Now you see why I told y'all in the first verse, Mayweather would have a problem with a guy who could score from a distance against him because it would make him take the lead. In the fights against Wamon Wells and all these other people, they've always had to come to Mayweather. Mayweather has always avoided somebody who could score at distance, score at range because it would put the onus on him to come forward. Defensively, from a standpoint, he's never really wanted to do that. But if you had to do that, don't you want to do it against a guy making his pro debut? I think so. Mayweather had a great performance, though. He showed the skill of what a boxer has that's deep in the game. And crocodiles, they don't grab zebras at the shore, eat them at the shore. They grab them, take them in the 20 feet and drown them. And the croc was Mayweather, and the zebra was Connor. Connor said in the press conference, I don't know why I keep having these dips and spells with my energy in between fights. I have to figure it out. And then takes a sip of notorious Irish whiskey. And Mayweather would look at him like, probably because you over there mashing your liver. Get your mind right. Get your fight right, man. Live a life for like 4 or 5 years like you're supposed to be a supreme fighter, and then after that, you can drink your ass to death. That's my call. Shout out to the Boxer Voice, DC in the building. I'm out.
All right, Marcus. Thanks for calling in, brother. We're going to go out to the 717-858.
Hey, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, brother. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
My name's Ray. First time calling. I'm calling from Pittsburgh. I've been listening to you guys for a couple weeks now, and I really respect what you guys are doing. I watched the fight last night, and I think that Connor did win the first few rounds, but I don't think he really won them that solid. He didn't really land anything that powerful. And, I think Mayweather was kind of just playing with him. I think it's hard for Mayweather to just go in there and just take people out that fast. Like, the way that he boxes has always been very defensive. And, I think a lot of other boxers probably would have handled Connor much quicker than Mayweather did. But, I think that Mayweather, I think that he just is getting older now, and I don't think he has what he used to have in the ring. And, that's just about it. I mean, I don't really think Connor really had a chance. So I didn't really appreciate the way that he was talking about Mayweather. I've never really been a big Mayweather fan, but I still just thought it was disrespectful to try to step into the boxing world and, think that you're going to go in there and handle someone who has never lost ever. So, that's it. And, like I said before, I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I'll talk to you again sometime.
Thanks. All right, brother. Well, make sure you subscribe to the channel so you get those notifications, because we do a bunch of spontaneous shows. And the only way to know when we go live is to make sure you tick on that little bell. It'll give you a little notification, and you'll be back on here live. We're going out to the 347 Brooklyn, New York, 347-755, 347-755. First time caller.
Yeah.
All right. 201 going once. 201-705.
Rob, Jersey City.
Yeah, that's me. Listen, everybody talking about Conor McGregor did okay because he kind of won the first three rounds. Come on, man. Come on. Who cares? And from now on, the UFC needs to be very careful what to do with Conor McGregor. With Conor McGregor, because let's say he fights Paulie, right? If he fights Paulie and Paulie manages to beat him, his value just goes straight down to the ground. Come on, man. Conor McGregor got his ass whooped last night. His ass whooped. That's my call, man.
All right. Class and Bound. I thought we went to Class and Bound.
I think he came back on.
Class and Bound, then we go to him.
No. So what ended up happening is the call, I had to drop the call because I had to do something real quick.
Well, you're live now.
All right, cool. So, first of all, the combat sports in general, like, it's a great thing that we have in the world. Like, like I said, I'm a hardcore boxing fan. I'll always be a hardcore boxing fan to the day that I die. But recently I've had some friends who have, been introducing me to MMA and teaching me how to watch it and how to properly score, how to assess it a bit. And to be fair, people talk about, he was talking about Conor got his ass whooped. There's a lot of people who would never get out of their comfort zone. And for that, I give Conor a lot of credit. Like, he really made me respect him a lot more for this fight than anything he's done in MMA thus far. Even though winning two UFC belts and holding them at the same time is really impressive, because no one else has done that. So props to him. Also, props to Floyd Mayweather, because think about this for a second. Even though he was the boxer, he was off 2 years retirement. He's also 40. He's also smaller. He's also doesn't have the reach advantage. He also allowed 8-ounce gloves. Like, Conor McGregor had a lot of advantages, and the guy could crack, according to all MMA experts, and even us. Like, we were saying Conor could hit. So, I mean, call it what it is, but I really like the fight. Gervonta Tank Davis needs to stay away from Lomachenko or Mikey Garcia, because he will get washed. He will get absolutely pummeled. I promise you that. Like, people were talking about how Davis would go up to 135 to ignore Lomachenko and go beat up Mikey. Nah, stop that. Stop that right now. Because he will look worse than what Adrian Broner looked like against Mikey. He will get knocked the hell out. I promise you. But that's my call.
Class and bound, as always, a pleasure. We're going out to Suleiman Escala, New York City. Talk to us.
Yeah, how you doing, Ness? Good evening. How you doing? Yeah, I tend to disagree about Gervonta Davis. I think Gervonta Davis is still growing in his skills. He can move up and acclimate to 135 and be a champion again, and probably do much better in that weight class, because he's growing. The kid is growing. And he looks much more dedicated than he is a little taller too than the Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner is only 5'4". You know what I mean? What more could you expect from a guy with that size? And he has to work harder. That's why Adrian Broner lost to Mikey Garcia, because he's too small. He's too short. Besides that fight with Conor McGregor, he did pretty good. But he's fighting the TBE, man. He's fighting the best fighter in there. The first fighter knew the game plan. He wore himself out in the early rounds, and he started landing some clean shots. He wasn't even blocking. He couldn't even lift his hands up, and he was a TKO. And Nathan Cleverly, the smartest thing he did was to retire after that loss. And I wouldn't mind seeing Cotto fight the winner of Triple G and Saul Canelo Alvarez. That would be a good match, a good farewell fight for him. And you guys have a great night.
Suleiman, thanks as always for calling in, my friend. We're going out to Brian in Atlantic City. Talk to us. Brian.
Yo, yo.
Yo, you're up. Clock's ticking. Yo.
All right, word up. Hey, last night was a beautiful night for boxing. I thought finally, you know, we got some excitement. The fight was a lot better than I thought it would be. Actually, I thought Floyd would, I did say 9 and 10 that Floyd would get him out of there. But I wanted to see Floyd finish him off. I think, you know, the ref let him, you know, keep his honor and get the TKO. But I think Floyd would have had him on his back. That's what I really wanted to see. I was really impressed by Badu Jack. Badu Jack threw down. He looked strong. His defense looked really good, way better than it normally looks. Tank, I don't know. Please, I just hope he doesn't turn into Adrian Broner, but I'm seeing him going that way. He was throwing get off me punches, and that punch was definitely to the back of the head. But he was winning the fight regardless. But it was a bad look. The whole situation was a bad look. And Tabidi looked pretty good, but he's going to have a problem, I think, when somebody really knows how to pressure that guy. He moves a lot, and he's sharp. His defense is pretty good, but I think when he fights the European guys, they're going to come at him different. So, and Boxing Voice, I'm liking what you're doing. Matt, you got abused last week, but I'm an MMA fan like you. But when it comes to boxing, hey, it's strictly boxing. You know, the guys played you out, but you handled it like a man, so it's all good. Ness, you've been popping up everywhere, man. So you guys have a good, successful machine going on. I'm probably one of your oldest callers from way, way, way back. I don't call in a lot because I get more enjoyment of listening to the calls. But you let guys burn, you let guys get down, and you guys going in the right direction. I see big, big things happening for you guys. Stay focused. Keep doing what you're doing. Get your border wars on. I get down with you guys, but I'm in great shape, but I'm 50 years old, so I can't mess with you guys on that. But keep doing what you're doing, man, and I wish you much success. I think I'm going to be calling in a little bit more, especially with the Canelo fight and Triple G coming up. I'm out.
Well, all right, Brian, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the kind words. We're going out to Majid, longtime caller as well. Talk to us.
Nah, it is Majid, man. I'm just calling in from 407. But, yeah, I think that last night, you know, it was a good fight. You know, an entertaining fight. Feel like, you know, Conor McGregor landed some hands on Mayweather. And it showed, you know, where his power was as far as boxing. But good fight. Javante Davis not making weight and struggling to fight before. He needed to bring his little heavy ass up to 135. Fuck the bullshit. And that dude that he fought, he put the work in on him, made him look bad. So, I mean, he got to show us something next fight. But I don't think to compare him to Broner is good right now because he might be fucking up on scales, but Broner be fucking up on life. So that comparison right there, that shit ain't right because fuck all that shit. But, yeah, man, I think yesterday the card overall was good. I paid for the pay-per-view, and I don't really have no complaints. You know, I just hope Floyd don't come back because he did his thing. Ain't nothing else to prove, but keep up the good work, man, and that's all I got.
Majid, thanks for calling in, brother. We're going out to 609-457. 609-457, first-time caller?
Yeah.
What's your name? Where you calling from, firm?
Jamar. I'm from Atlantic City, too.
All right, Jamal, talk to us.
New Jersey. Yeah, first of all, I want to say you and Matt are doing a great job with this show. I've just been listening the last couple months, and you guys are doing a good job. You know what you're talking about. Javante, I've been watching him for a long time. It seemed like he was kind of, like, off last night a little bit. Maybe because of the big stage, or I'm not sure, but he had that little issue with Liam Walsh fight where he had the little issue with the weight. Now he missed weight on this one. Like the other caller said, I hope he doesn't turn into like Adrian Broner type of guy, but I see him doing a great job. He's a young kid. I like that kid. I'm watching his career. Mayweather money team. I told these guys he's going to win. And he won. He came forward, and he did his thing. That's it. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling in. Thank you for the kind words. We're going out to the Fight Doctor. Fight Doc in Chicago.
Fight Doctor. Fight Doctor in the house.
From respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga.
Yo, Fight Doctor in the house on Rick James status as always. What's going on, gentlemen?
What up, Fight Doctor? How are you?
How did you enjoy the event?
Well, yeah, damn sure wasn't a fight. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It was what it was. You know, it was a spectacle. You know, Mayweather gets a nice big fat retirement check, and McGregor he gets a big fat I got my ass beat check, and you know, it's all good. You know, we live happily ever after. Okay, what can I say? You know, Mayweather needs to retire. I don't think he wants to fight any of the top welters. He damn sure doesn't want to see any of the top 54 pounders because look, Mayweather didn't look too good last night, okay? He just didn't. But, I mean, you know, the man, 40 years old, been off for 2 years. I guess he's not supposed to look good. He's supposed to look like how he looked, you know? So, but, you know, I thought Badu Jack, I thought he looked good. I think the move to light heavyweight was good for him. He looked like I saw a difference between him his performance last night and his previous performance at 168 against the guy from England. I forget his name. But, I mean, he looked to just be more, I don't know, have more energy, more snap on his punches. He just looked better overall. So I think he can make some noise at 175. He won't beat Ward, but I think he could probably beat Stevenson. You know, I would like to see that fight.
All right. Anything else you got for us?
That's really about it. I mean, you know, I guess the MMA crowd can now go back to, whatever they were doing beforehand and, you know, collectively shut up with all that noise. You know, there's a lot of broke people today because I know there was a lot of money put on McGregor. You know, listen, MMA fans, look, boxing is it's a whole different sport, okay? It's not just throwing punches like what they do in MMA, all right? It's just a whole different science to it. So, you know, listen, had this fight happened 2 years ago, it would have been 2-3 rounds tops, okay? So that's all I got.
Well, Fight Doctor, thank you so much for calling in. You rounded out the show. It's that time, Matthew the Hipster Hunter.
We didn't have a single
Game of Thrones finale.
We didn't have a single person call in who picked Conor McGregor and eat crow.
Of course not. They always hide when it's time to eat the crow. You know how that goes. I mean, gone are the days where we had the super producer with a list and we would not allow them to lie.
We would name them off on air.
Call them out. Did we get to this 917 guy?
No, he just jumped on.
Says he's been there for quite some time. 917, who are you?
Hey, Nesson Mahler.
You said your name is what?
I just wanted to say Marlon.
Marlon, what's up? Marlon in Brooklyn, talk to us.
Yeah, I think it was Mayweather was patient. He could have easily took him out earlier, but he made the night more entertaining by, you know, letting Conor take all his shots out. He broke him down and got him out of there like he was supposed to. I think Conor should have had his hands up and tried to throw punches back at the end, but he was just too gassed out, I guess. And then in terms of Gervonta, I think he needs to try to get that belt back somehow. I don't know if he's gonna be a mandatory for the belt or not, or if it's gonna be a long process. But I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with how he lost the belt and got the win off of that shot. But that's all I got.
All right. Thanks for calling in. You know, on the outro, I'm glad you brought that up so I could talk about it because, you know, I mentioned my disappointment in Gervonta, but I forgot to mention that he made $600,000 for this. Like, imagine he didn't lose the title. You know what I'm saying? They made it very easy for him to secure a future for his family. And it just infuriates me that he didn't make weight. Now, I know that it can be difficult. I do. I understand that. But like some of the other callers said, this is now the second time in a row, man. It's just looking bad for the home team. Overall, Mayweather-McGregor was an amazing event. I'm glad we got to cover it. I'm glad you guys were able to call in, and I'm glad we gained so many new listeners and callers, and I hope you guys stick around for many, many more shows. We will continue to cover the sport of boxing thoroughly here with me and the Hipster. Final thoughts, Mayweather is always going to be the king. He can retire for 2 more years and come back, and we'll be willing to watch it. Cotto, not on that same fighting plane. He cannot stick around. He's 36, and I can name dozens of fighters that will end it for him. So choose carefully, Jon Snow. Davis, you already know, get on that diet, go get that belt. Maybe this is the perfect way to duck Lomachenko. You go get that belt versus Tevin Farmer, quiet that mouth, and in the meantime, you create some distance between you and Lomachenko. Badu Jack, looking impressive. Hopefully, Adonis Stevenson and Al Haymon. You know, it's really Al Haymon, to be honest with you. How long have people been calling out Adonis Stevenson? Al Haymon must love Adonis and has been protecting him far too long. He's old already. It's time. Badu Jack obviously is the guy. if not Marcus Brown. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. I want to thank everyone that tuned in. Remember, Game of Thrones season finale review mañana, early morning, coffee in the morning when Matt wakes up.
And I'm Matt the Hipster Hunter. Final thoughts. I mean, this was just one of the biggest events in sports history. Whether or not it was a deserved sporting event, we got it, and it was massive. And ultimately, I think at the end of the day, it was entertaining. I thought we got it. We got at least most of our money's worth from this event. I can't wait to continue to see what the aftermath is, to continue to see how the whole boxing versus MMA talk continues. If it continues for another week or 2 weeks, when there's another news item in the cycle that replaces it. This was a historic event. This was something that books will be written about in a way. And I think a lot of us really need to sort of understand and sort of decompress and understand and really come to grips with what this thing was. And I don't know what that is. I watched the fight twice. I watched the event twice, and I don't know really what I saw. Like, it's still a spectacle. It's still that surreal feeling. It still doesn't feel like it's reality, but we're here. We're here in this day and age, and it's been a great year of boxing. I hope it continues. I hope these numbers from this event are massive, and I hope they stay and watch the sport. Watch guys like Keith Thurman. Watch guys like a Marcus Brown, like you mentioned. Watch these young guys. Watch an Andre Ward. Watch a Lomachenko. Watch a Terrence Crawford. I want the sport to grow, and hopefully this event helped that. And I think that's the biggest positive and hope we can take away from this event, is that all these casuals were somehow stick to the sport because it was fun. It was entertaining. This wasn't Mayweather-Pacquiao. Yeah, I'm Matt Thompson Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter, TBV on Instagram, and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radio, is on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
Later.